Blog Talk Radio.
After that, you are now. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Wherever in the world you are, you're enjoying the Catholic Defender Program Novena to the Holy Spirit through Pentecost, which is acclaimed as the birthday of the Church. The Mass is the source of the purpose, the passion, and the power. God the Father is the purpose. God the Son is the passion. God the Holy Spirit is the power. The God of heaven comes to us in his Eucharistic presence. Jesus is truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Holy Spirit, Lord of light, from your clear celestial height, your pure beaming radiance give. Only one thing is important, eternal salvation. Only one thing is therefore to be feared, sin. Sin is a result of ignorance, weakness, and indifference. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of light, of strength, and of love. With his sevenfold gifts, he enlightens the mind, strengthens the will, and inflames the heart with love of God. To ensure our salvation, we ought to invoke the Holy Spirit daily, for the Spirit helpeth our infirmity. We know not what we should pray for, but if we ought, but the Spirit himself asketh for us. Almighty and eternal God, who has vouchsafed to regenerate us by water and the Holy Spirit, and has given us forgiveness of all sins, vouchsafe to send forth from heaven upon us your sevenfold spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and fortitude, and the spirit of knowledge and piety, and fill us with the spirit of holy fear. Amen. Act of consecration to the Holy Spirit. On my knees before the great multitude of heavenly witnesses, I offer myself, soul and body, to you, eternal Spirit of God. I adore you, the brightness of your purity, the unerring keenness of your justice, and the might of your love. You are the strength and light of my soul. In you I live and move and am. I desire never to grieve you by unfaithfulness to grace, and I will pray with all my heart to be kept from the smallest sin against you. Mercifully grant my every thought and grant that I may always watch for your light and listen to your voice and follow your gracious inspirations. I cling to you and give myself to you and ask you by your compassion to watch over me in my weakness. Holding the pierced feet of Jesus and looking at his five wounds and trusting in his precious blood and adoring his open side and stricken heart, I implore you, adorable Spirit, helper of my infirmity, to keep me in your grace that I may never sin against you. Give me grace. O Holy Spirit, Spirit of the Father and Son, to say to you always and everywhere, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, who before ascending into heaven did promise to send the Holy Spirit to finish the work of in the souls of your apostles and disciples, deign to grant the same Holy Spirit to me that he may perfect in my soul the work of your grace and your love. Grant the spirit of wisdom that I may despise the perishable things of this world and aspire only after the things which are eternal. The spirit of understanding to enlighten my mind with the light of your divine truth. The spirit of counsel, that I may ever choose the surest way of pleasing God and gaining heaven. The spirit of fortitude, that I may bear my cross with you and that I may overcome with courage all the obstacles that oppose my salvation. The spirit of knowledge, that I may know God and know myself and grow perfect in the science of the saints. The spirit of piety, that I may find the service of God sweet and amiable. The spirit of fear, that I may be filled with loving reverence towards God and may dread in any way to displease him. Mark me, dear Lord, with the sign of your true disciples, and animate me in all things with your Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lady of Pompeii Novena. Our Lady of Pompeii is a title given to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Devotion to Our Lady of Pompeii began in Pompeii, Italy in the late 1800s. This devotion is closely involved with the devotion to the Rosary. Our Lady of Pompeii's intercession has brought about many miracles. You can use this novena to seek intercession from Our Lady of Pompeii in every aspect of your life. In the late 1800s, there were very few people living in the Valley of Pompeii in Italy. Most of the small population had fallen away from the Catholic faith, and their ancestors had once practiced. Most of the population was very superstitious and ignorant of the faith. In 1872, a nobleman named Barrio Longo arrived in Pompeii. Bartolo was a Catholic, but did not seem to be very devout. He had traveled to Pompeii to look at property his wife owned there, and he wanted to see what condition the property was in. We've all done that at one time. Shortly after arriving in Pompeii, Bartolo had a supernatural experience. He was walking in a deserted area when he heard a voice. The voice told him that he should spread devotion to the Rosary if he wished to be saved. The voice also told him that the Blessed Virgin Mary had promised that this was the way to find salvation. The Church of Our Lady of Pompeii was built between 1876 and 1891. Between 1934 and 1939, the Basilica of Our Lady of Pompeii was built. Our Lady's Pompeii feast day is October 7th. The Catholic Defender, the 15 promises Our Lady gave for the Rosary, the first promise, Whosoever shall faithfully serve me by the recitation of the Rosary shall receive signal graces. A signal grace may be a simple sign in daily life that answers a question made in prayer or points towards God's will. For example, seeing a rose after finishing a novena to St. Teresa of Lisieux could be considered a signal grace. Signal graces are often subtle or seemingly coincidental. I often will ask people what they think of a coincidence. They will often respond that it could be a natural happening. In truth, a coincidence may be a natural happening, But I like to interject that a coincidence is a way in which God remains anonymous. A signal of grace may not be an outward sign or a miracle per se, but these graces are meant, are means God uses to increase our recognition of his presence in our lives. The first promise is a very hopeful support to the believer who is working through life with a constant struggle. Our Lady is offering hope to the faithful, dedicated to the Rosary. St. Bernard of Siena stated that the Virgin Mary, you must know that when you hail Mary, she immediately greets you. Don't think that she is one of those rude women of whom there are so many. On the contrary, she is utterly courteous and pleasant. If you greet her, she will answer you right away and converse with you. A life of prayer helps the believer to recognize blessings from God even in the midst of turmoil. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 7 and 8 states, now as you excel in every respect, in faith, discourse, knowledge, all earnestness, and in the love we have for you, may you excel in this gracious act also. I say this not by way of command, but to test the genuineness of your love by your concern for others. There are a zillion examples that can be offered here, how the Virgin Mary keeps this promise. St. Paul wrote something very interesting about signal graces. The grace is given to you, to us, according to the measure of Christ's gift, Ephesians 4:7. The Lord Jesus Christ is promising us through his Mother Mary to offer such gifts for the commitment of the Rosary. Answered prayer, such as for healing, can be a signal grace. It could also include healing from a medical procedure. A signal grace could be an interior revelation. You might have read a scripture text 1,000 times, but this is one time before the light bulb turned on was a special revelation. I think prayer can keep a person in the spirit, in the spiritual mind, and heaven is calling for a rosary to be offered for sinners. Signal graces can be an expression coming from God as a way of showing grace and approval for our faithfulness. This will certainly instill hope as we continue this walk through life. The old cattle drivers in the Old West would follow trail markers that help them travel the right way to their destination. Signal graces could help build trust and encourage the faithful on this way of pilgrimage. Consider what some of the saints have said about Our Lady. O sinner, be not discouraged, but have recourse to Mary in all your necessities. Call her to your assistance, for such is the divine will that she should help in every kind of necessity, St. Basil the Great. If you invoke the Blessed Virgin when you are tempted, she will come at once to your help, and Satan will leave you, St. John Vianney. If you ever feel distressed during your day, call upon Our Lady. Just say the simple prayer, Mary, Mother of Jesus, be a mother to me now. I must admit, this prayer has never failed me, St. Mother Teresa. Even while living in this world, the heart of Mary is so filled with motherly tenderness and compassion for men that no one ever suffered so much for their own pains as Mary suffered for the pains of her children, St. Jerome. As mariners are guided into port by the shining of a star, so Christians are guided to heaven by Mary, St. Thomas Aquinas. To give worthy praise to the Lord's mercy, we unite ourselves with your Immaculate Mother, and then our hymn will be more pleasing to you, because she is chosen from among men and angels. Through her, as through pure crystal, your mercy was passed on to us. Through her, man became pleasing to God. Through her, streams of grace flowed down upon us. St. Faustina. Mary, the Mother of Jesus and our Mother, always smile on your spirit, obtaining for it from her the most holy, from her most holy Son, every heavenly blessing. St. Padre Pio. In trial or difficulty, I have recourse to Mother Mary, whose glance alone is enough to dissipate every fear, St. Teresa of Lisieux. Just looking at the samples of the saints' examples teaches so much value in our walk of faith. Trusting in God, seeing his blessings coming in so many ways, what a grace is that we can be thankful for all the signal graces granted us. Now the Eucharistic miracle sent her in Portugal. An unhappy woman lived in Santarém between the years of 1225 and 1247 because she was convinced that her husband was unfaithful. She tried all the possible means to bring back her husband without any results. Desperate before her situation, she turned to sorcery, visiting the sorcerer of the town. She promised her that her husband would again love her like before, but with the condition that she would pay her with a consecrated host. This frightened the woman very much. She knew this to be a sacrilege and finally yielded to it. After receiving communion in the parish church of St. Stephen, she did not consume the host, but left the church immediately, took the host out of her mouth, and placed it in her headscarf. On her way to the sorceress's house, the Holy Host started to bleed. The woman did not know this was happening until the people passing by informed her, thinking she was bleeding. The woman's heart started to panic. She went home and placed the host covered in the scarf at the bottom of a chest made of wood, where she kept personal items in her room. She remained there with fear all day until nighttime. When her husband arrived late that evening, they went to sleep with the possibility that she herself did not rest much. The guilt of her sin tormented her, and also the idea that perhaps the host continued to bleed. In the darkness of the room, a great miracle occurred. From the chest, brilliant rays of light shined through, allowing the couple to be awakened. They saw a spectacular vision of angels adoring the Holy Host bleeding. The woman no longer contained herself and confessed the great sin to her husband. Both repented and spent the night kneeling in adoration and reparation before the miraculous host. The next morning, they informed the parish priest. He went to their house and heard the story from the woman. The priest returned the host to the church of St. Stephen in a solemn procession, accompanied by many priests and lay people. The host continued to bleed for 3 days. Finally, it was decided to place the Holy Host, still bleeding, in a reliquary made of beeswax. The Holy Host remained there until the second miracle occurred. Monday of the fifth week of Easter. Reading one, and we have a musical interlude.
Holy Spirit, Lord of light, from a clear celestial height, thy pure beaming radiance give. Come now, Father of the poor, come with treasures. Wow. light immortal, light divine. Visit now these hearts of thine, and our inmost being fill, for without your
Acts 14, verses 5 through 18. There was an attempt in Iconium by both the Gentiles and the Jews, together with their leaders, to attack and stone Paul and Barnabas. They realized it and fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe, and to the surrounding countryside, where they continued to proclaim the good news. At Lystra, there was a crippled man, lame from birth, who had never walked. He listened to Paul speaking, who looked intently at him, saw that he had the faith to be healed, and called out in a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." He jumped up and began to walk about. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they cried out in Lycaonian, "The gods have come down for us in human form." They called Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance of the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, for he, together with the people, intended to offer sacrifice. The apostles Barnabas and Paul tore their garments when they heard this and rushed out into the crowd shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We are of the same nature as you, human beings. We proclaim to you good news, that you should turn from these idols to the living God, who made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed all Gentiles to go their own ways, yet in bestowing his goodness, he did not leave himself without witness. For he gave you rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, and filled you with nourishment and gladness in your hearts." Even with these words, they scarcely restrained the crowd from offering sacrifice to them. Responsorial Psalm, "Not to us, O Lord, but to your name give the glory. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give the glory. Because of your mercy, because of your faith, your truth, why should the pagans say, 'Where is their God?' Not to us, Lord, but to your name give the glory. Our God is in heaven. Wherever he wills, he does. Whatever he wills, he does. Their idols are silver and gold, the handiwork of men. Not to us, Lord, but to your name give the glory. May you be blessed by the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Heaven is the heaven of the Lord, but the earth he has given to children of men. Not to us, O Lord, but to your name give the glory." John 14:26, "The Holy Spirit will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have told you." The Gospel, John 14:21-26. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." Judas, not the Iscariot, said to him, "Master, then what happened that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him. We will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my word, yet the word you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have told you." And we're down to our saint of the day, St. Peter of Tarentaise. Peter was born near Vienne, France in 1102 and died at Belleville, France in 1175.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting Hartley's Heroes. Here's Donald Hartley with his Hartley's Hero for today.
Peter was born near Vienne, France in 1102 and died in Belleville, France in 1175. He was canonized in 1191. At the age of 20, he entered the Cistercian order and convinced his family to enter along with him. His two brothers and his father entered the religious community of Bonneville with him, and his sister also followed their example and became a religious. The Peter we're focusing on today became a Cistercian monk and eventually served as an abbot. In 1142, he was named Archbishop of Tarentaise, replacing a bishop who had been deposed because of corruption. Peter tackled his new assignment with vigor. He brought reform into his diocese, replaced lax clergy, and reached out to the poor. He visited all parts of his mountainous diocese on a regular basis. After about a decade as bishop, Peter disappeared for a year and lived quietly as a lay brother in an abbey in Switzerland. When he was found out, the reluctant bishop was persuaded to return to his post. He again focused many of his energies on the poor. Miracles were attributed to him during this time, healings and the multiplication of food during a famine. He became widely known as a wonder worker, which increased his longing for the solitude he found in his life as a monk. After 13 years as an archbishop, he one day suddenly vanished without a trace. Peter died in 1174 on his way home from an unsuccessful papal assignment to reconcile the kings of France and England. His liturgical feast is celebrated on September 14th. He defended papal rights in France and was called upon to assist in bringing about a reconciliation between King Louis VII of France and then Prince Henry II of England. Peter was canonized in 1191. He should not be confused with Peter of Tarentaise, who became Pope Innocent V. We probably know a lot of people who would welcome the chance to receive some honor or honorary position. They relish the thought of the glamour and the glory. But saints like Peter of Tarentaise remind us that humility and the avoidance of glory is the way of the gospel. Obtain for us the grace of a living faith, a sincere loyalty to the church, acceptance of all her teachings, and obedience to all her precepts. Let us thus enjoy an undisturbed peace on earth and everlasting happiness in heaven. And that is our saint of the day.
Presenting from Deeper Truth, the saint of the day. They say that every dog has its day. Well, so does every saint. And when the saints go marching in, Donald Hartley, the Catholic defender, knows exactly who's going to be in that number. And he'll share them with you every day. That's the saint of the day for inspiring true stories of your everyday saint. Don't worry, they won't bite.
No, but they'll sure bless.
Well, thank you, Mike.
Well, we need Saint Peter these days with all the things that are going on.
Yes. Yes.
We need a couple more like Saint Peter.
I agree. And all we got to do is just reach in. Just reach in there. We pray for America. We pray for Pope Francis and all the Holy Church. We pray for all the clergy. We pray for all those who are suffering from addictions and those who need deliverance. We pray for our children. We pray for their innocence. And so thank you, Mike. And Mike and I just encourage you all to just reach in. And I'll end with this song, Mike. And thank you, and we'll see you, everybody, back tomorrow.
A quick program note. Journey with Mary this coming Sunday, the 4th, I believe it's the 14th. We're going to visit Our Lady of Guadalupe. That's a relatively well-known apparition. So we hope you'll enjoy that along with us.
Amen. All right, so just reach in. You've been with Deeper Truth, the novena to the Holy Spirit through Pentecost, which Pentecost is on the 28th of May. And so we're honoring, asking the Holy Spirit to come into our lives in a special, powerful way through the Holy Church. Oh, that is so wonderful, Mike. And thank you, Mike. And everybody out there in the Deeper Truth world out there, have a great day. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Good day.
You bet.
Bye, Mike. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Amen.
And we'll see you tomorrow.